We are brought to you tonight by Lavazzi International, the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sinks, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, bike design, or maybe their puzzle design. Check them out, lavazzi.co.uk. That's lavasi.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. The promo code is FANGO, and you will go ahead and save yourself 25% off of any purchase. Now back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
Are you ready?
Coming at you, welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean street, AMP Studios in Danville, California. And of course, AMP Studios in Canada, Brantford, Ontario. We're coming at you live and unedited after UFC 216, the results, Ferguson versus Lee, held of course last night, October 7th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, Proteus. And total attendance there as called 10,000, little over 10,000, 10,638. I'm not sure if that's correct. Total gate, a whopping $677,000 in Las Vegas. Not a large gate. And there were a lot of empty seats. A lot of controversies, of course. Bonata deducted 1 point allegedly to an illegal knee. We can certainly go into that. Proteus and I will talk about Kevin Lee and a staph infection, fighting with that. So we'll get into that. Bonus awards, of course, were given. The fight of the night, Lando Bonata versus Bobby Green. And that was one hell of a fight. These guys, I'm pretty sure these guys will have extended medical suspensions. Performance of the night, DJ Demetrius Johnson, to no one's surprise, and to John Moraga. Proteus, let's get into it. Well, let's introduce the host, guys. We follow him at Proados. Hit it.
Tony, as Pammy likes to say, happy Sunday, y'all.
She can't say it, right? Because she's actually is a southerner that lives in North Carolina.
I love it, though. I love it.
All right.
So we have the DJ.
Me
and the
too.
PJs.
Everybody. And the DJ and the PJs. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony. Let's get into this, Proteus. We'll swing through the prelims rather quickly. But I want to do touch on the John Moraga fight. So to the middleweight, we started. And of course, we lost. Derek Lewis, I mean, a lot of fights were lost in this card. And you know what? I thought it was, at least I'd love getting to bed a little earlier, right, after we watched the press conferences, etc. Brad Tavares, junkie favorite, defeated Talis Blaytas via unanimous decision. Pretty good fights all across the board there. And then let's get into this one. The flyweight, we win. John Moraga defeated
TJ Koshimazu. Yes, lock it up.
I butchered his last name. First round, KO. How about that? That's it. I'm going to stick with that. TJ, who's your mama? was previously undefeated, by the way. First round, KO. KO, by the way, in the flyweight division, Proteus. Let's talk about that quickly.
Yeah, man. What a finish. I mean, this is a... Biblu Atov was definitely a up and rising potential contender, you know what I mean? And John Moraga just had his way with him. Switching levels, you know, he went low with a shot, went with that high kick, clipped him a bit, and then that straight left, or might have been a hook, caught Biblu Atov right on the chin, man, and that was all she wrote. I mean, that fella was out. So, you know how we don't like to bet against the odds, you know, too much on this show, but John Moraga really showing out. in this one.
Especially someone that was undefeated, right, at the time. That was not bad. Let's see you to move up in the card. Not the best. I mean, honestly, for the money, probably not the best UFC card for pay-per-view, but somehow the undercard always seems to deliver. So the flyweight we went, and Tammy called this one the spotlight fight of the night for Matt Schnell. Defeated, of course, Marco Beltran. Same thing as a Tavares late this fight. Unanimous decision, and I saw it the right way. We went to the strawweight, women's strawweight. Poliana Vitello defeated. I'm going to have to play the music, Proteus.
Go for it.
It's never nice to see anyone lose, but let alone, because of course I'm trying to buy time here, Tito. Trying to buy a little bit of time here. But Poliana Botella defeated Pearl Gonzalez via unanimous decision. I think Pearl actually ran out of gas, believe it or not. I don't.
Early.
She did pretty well in the first and just kind of faded in the last two, kind of coasted, couldn't take Botella down. Botella, of course, with that really odd grunt or yell at the end. I don't know if you got to see that, but oh my gosh, I thought Chewbacca was in the house. I need a Chewbacca drop. That's probably not bad. Let's move up to the fight of the night.
On, can I get this one real quick?
Oh yeah,
sorry,
please.
I thought that I was really concerned that they weren't going to give it to Botello, even though she was clearly the aggressor. I mean, all Pearl Gonzalez did for two rounds was put her up against the fence, couldn't finish a takedown.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to have a wardrobe malfunction a number of times, Tony, I'm not going to lie. I thought Botella's shirt was going to come down a little too far once or twice in this fight. Reebok, you really got to work on these tops, man. Seriously. But good. I'm glad that the right person won that fight. She looked very vicious, and Pearl Gonzalez seemed to not want anything to do with Botella on the feet once she kind of felt a little bit of the offense. Of course, Pearl was using that low leg kick effectively, but again, just for some reason, whether she felt the power of Botella or felt that she was getting, like you said, Tony, gassed, just kept on trying to wrestle, and the referee had to pull them apart a number of times. So I knew we were going to talk about this fight, so I went back and watched this one because I knew you were going to cue the music.
Proteus, was there someone else in the octagon besides Pearl Gonzalez? Was
indeed.
There? Oh boy! Gosh, and the worst part is we almost had a wardrobe malfunction. I really did not know that. But unfortunately, it was not with Pearl Gonzalez. No, I really didn't. Yeah. I actually was noticing that Pearl gasses. For being in great shape, she gasses. And it's, and not even the Brazilian type of gas, right? I mean, because, you know, sometimes Brazilian fighters are at least it's through the tail of the tape, right, that they gas. I'm actually surprised, so... Anyway, didn't really go but let's go to the spotlight. No one called this, by the way, as a spotlight fight of the night, I don't think. Lando Venata versus Bobby Green. We saw two draws tonight. We'll get into the other one later, but I thought it was fair. I thought the draw was fair. Venata versus Green, I mean, it was back and forth, bloody. Boy, I'll tell you that, Lando Venata. There are very few fighters that fight like he does. Justin Gaethje being one of those, and of course the new champ, Tony Ferguson, being another, where they just get hit, kind of reckless, and just take those hits. But boy, I don't know how long Lando Venata, with his new haircut, by the way, is going to last if he continues to get hit like that. And Bobby Green. Proteus, is Bobby Green better than we thought he was, or... what happened that night?
This is just a kind of a fight that Bobby Green is, wanting to get into. I'm looking at the stats right here, Tony, and for control, Lando Venata had 59 and 12 seconds, and Bobby Green had 30 seconds of control. So it's very interesting that this fight was kind of, I guess, I don't know, you tell me, because I did not get a chance to watch this fight because, of course, I was on daddy duty last night trying to catch up with the fights as much as possible. But do you think that that knee, though, that was apparently called illegal, was the turning tide in this fight?
Well, but the problem is this, because he was basically finishing him in the first. So Benata was going to finish Bobby Green in the first. Of course, the knee did not connect clearly, but I think it's not whether it connects, it's whether it's thrown, I believe, are the rules. I could be wrong there. And Aaron, of course, can correct us if that's the case. But I did think that it turned the fight. And you know what? It gave Bobby Green good life. And it wasn't an entertaining fight, so certainly no title implications at this point. So good on them. It was an entertaining fight. Let's move on to this one, Proteus, because Tom Dukanlaw loses to Cody Stamann. Split decision. That's probably right as well. Interesting to see what happens to Tom Dukanlaw, because I think we're both really high on Dukanlaw. And not to speak specifically on this particular fight, but I was kind of disappointed in his, as I guess I expected him to really come out and really destroy Cody Stamann. That didn't happen. So, but I think you and I are both big on Tom Dukanlaw. I think Marco's big on Tom Dukanlaw as well. Let's move up to the main card we go, Proteus. My guy, Beneil Dariush, defeated a man that's been on Team Proteus for quite some time, Evan Dunham. Well, actually didn't defeat it. It was a majority draw, no. Forgive me. And you know what? I can probably see that. I honestly thought Beneil Dariush took two rounds. I think he lost the second. Evan Dunham certainly is tough as nails. There's no doubt about it. Benny was fighting, in my opinion, a little reckless. I'm going to throw to you, Proteus. What'd you see?
Well, I actually didn't. Another one that I didn't get to see, Tony. I missed a lot of fights on this card and was playing catch up. But you know what I mean? Evan Dunham has always been a very, very tough fighter. He's never one who's going to go out there and give up. And Benny has a kind of a history of fighting recklessly, Tony. I mean, he can be drawn into that kind of a fight. And again, as we talked about with Green, Dunham is not afraid to throw down. So I don't know if there was any fouls or any. Sorry?
Yeah, there was an eye poke that occurred, but I don't think it really affected the fight. It was a good fight. I think both of the fighters...
It's a really close fight.
Yeah. I think both of the fighters really showed grit. Evan Dunham certainly showed a chin, I'll tell you that right now. Clearly, Evan Dunham's not done. He still has more fights in him. And I know that Beneil Dariush thought Evan Dunham was a little disrespectful calling him out. Not that he called him out disrespectfully, but like you said on Junkie, you only call out someone that you think you can beat. So I think Beneil Dariush was kind of probably not happy with that. So, but, listen, sportsmanship, Beneil Dariush clearly had some nice things to say about Vegas, et cetera. And, the class act that he is, right, about the people that were affected with that. Awful.
Tony, maybe this is one that they need to run back. You know what I mean? If it was an intriguing fight, close fight, run it back. Let's see it again. I mean, if it was produced a good fight in the first time, I'm okay with seeing it again.
Me too, actually. You're right about that. I definitely wouldn't mind seeing that one again because I did think that both guys brought it. Let's move up to the women's flyweight we went. Mara Romero Barella, really two fighters that I've never seen before, to be honest with you. She beat Kalindra Faria in the first round with a rear naked choke, and her Brazilian jiu-jitsu is either that good or Faria's defense isn't that good. But that was certainly an interesting fight, went pretty quick, and it did provide some fire. I still say Proteus should not have been on the main card. No offense to any of these fighters, but I don't think should have been on the main card. To the heavyweight we went, and we lost friend to the show, sort of.
Yeah.
Derek Lewis. Were you surprised by that? And and kudos, by the way, to the UFC for keeping this fight alive. And we'll talk about them doing some other things to keep some other fights alive, Proteus. But were you surprised that they kept the fight alive?
I'm really not surprised that they kept it alive, in that they needed to keep it alive. You know what I mean? You can't, you already had one fight fall off. As you mentioned, the last fight that we talked about that shouldn't have been on the main card. But again, we've talked about how much the UFC owes to, you know, their content providers being, you know, whether it would be FS1 or Fox, or whether it be, you know, people across the pond in Europe. I mean, they have to keep sort of some kind of fights in where they need to be. And this one, they needed to keep this one alive. They had another heavyweight fight on the bout, which, of course, they tore apart. I'm okay with that. Am I okay with the fact that Verdum gets to show out against a lesser opponent? I'm not. But I guess that's just what happened. And like you said, you got to go to bed a little bit earlier because a couple of fights on the main card finished pretty quickly. But I want to point out that I thought that this fight card was definitely very top heavy, and there's lots to talk about in the next two fights. So you go ahead and give your opinion on this fight, please, Tony.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was really, really top heavy. I think what we saw is someone in Walt Harris that was just really not ready for maybe not even ready for a top 10 fighter. Certainly not ready for
especially the level
five.
Of Verdum. I apologize for interrupting you, but
no, you're right. The level of Brazilian jiu-jitsu was not even close. So, you know, what we saw, frankly, Verdum fought smart, which we haven't been seeing lately, and he's a bright guy, but he takes it close to Walt, takes away his power, brings him down, quick armbar submission, 1:05 into it, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah, see, the reason that this helps Fabricio a lot is because, as I said on Smack My Picks Up, this was a fight for Lewis to take a step forward. And I don't know if I completely answered your question back are you surprised that the UFC got the fight together? And I answered that, but I'm surprised that Derek Lewis decided to come back again so soon. We know that he's had that back issue, that the back issue was the thing that he complained about against Mark Hunt when he retired. So we know he has a back issue, and we know that he retired and then changed his mind really, really quickly. And I just think, Tony, that he does need more time off. I remember saying this when he went up against Hunt. He needs to take that time off and let whatever injury he has in his back, if it can be healed, he needs to let that thing heal, because that was a big fight, Tony, right? I mean, we can agree that if we would have had Ferguson Lee, Johnson Borg, then Verdum Lewis happen, that would have been much better than what happened on the day. And I don't know how much they can invest into Lewis right now. I think they need to let him go away, get some rest, maybe get some can't remember what the shot is that you get in your back, not cortisone, but anyways, and get his back healthy, because he clearly has a problem. Thanks, Tony. Sorry.
Yeah, and it's affected him, like you mentioned. You know, we talk about it affecting him during the Mark Hunt fight, but it affected him during the Travis Brown fight as well. I mean, it was a lot clearer during the Mark Hunt fight because he was standing upright, clearly looked like someone that had tweaked his back. But you're right. I mean, he's you know, a couple times, he said it a few times, actually, in the last maybe three fights. He's mentioned taking some time off, then, of course, mentioned that he was going to retire because of the back issue. But it's lingering, Proteus. It really is lingering. It's really bothering him. And I don't know if he just gets bored and doesn't want to take any time off. I don't know what his situation is, but clearly, yeah, you're 100% right. He needs to take some time off. There's no doubt about it.
I think he's just too much of an animal for his own good.
Yeah, is he? I mean, because he does have personality. I don't think he's ready for the Fox desk, however, but.
You look at the embedded videos that they were sending out. I mean, and that's just a hard, and in the embedded video, I think it was the Sunday before the fight. I mean, the workout that he was doing, he just seemed like totally wiped out by it. You could tell on the embedded, and that's hindsight being 2020, Tony, but I don't know, man. Again, he just needs to take a break.
Yeah, but even then, I literally watching those embedded videos, I kind of wondered, or the vlogs, right? I kind of wondered how really hard his workout, because he's always joking, right? He was joking about chicken,
yeah.
Right? You know, so I guess it's hard to tell with Derek Lewis because he's always joking. That I don't know where he is with that. I don't know where he was with his, I don't know. Basically, if he's joking or if he's being serious, do you get that from Derek Lewis sometimes? Where
I think he's trying to play a character. Sure? I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I don't know if he's playing a character or if he is at that point in his life, in his fighting career, where he's hit a wall, man, and the money's really good. But I mean, again, he's not going to get paid to come out to Vegas. You know what I mean? He's not going to get any money because he didn't fight. Maybe he'll get his show money because he weighed in, but he didn't end up fighting. So, and maybe because he does have to cut weight, right? Maybe that affected his back too. You never know with these weight cuts what's going to happen to the human body. Everybody reacts differently.
Interesting. And I'm assuming that Walt Harris's opponent, and it's for whatever reason, I'm blanking.
Godbeer.
But Mark Godbeer. I'm hoping that he got paid, right? Because at least the show money.
I assume he got paid.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. I don't think he got his win bonus, but I'm sure he got paid. He's got to got something.
Yeah, it's well. Let's go to the main the co-main right. event. We go, Proteus, because here we go on this one. I was joking on the show on Smack My Picks Up, like, do we really need to go through this exercise? Because I think we all knew what was going to happen, that Mighty Mouse would indeed, of course, break the record just because he's that good, and also because I think the level of competition isn't great. But 11, of course, consecutive title defenses. But Ray Borg actually held his own. He didn't look good. He was not hurting DJ, but he certainly went five rounds, right? Tapped, of course, 315 to an incredible armbar. What say you, Proteus?
Well, I have a lot to say about this fight, and I apologize if I sound like I'm rambling, but this was an impressive performance, nonetheless. And we all called Demetrius Johnson. I don't think anybody picked Ray Borg. However, as Dana White had said on his post-fight interview or his post-fight press conference, you know, Ray Borg was no joke. And he kind of backpedaled on Ray Borg because you remember back when they were pushing for the TJ fight, the DJ-TJ fight, and he was like, ooh, this fight's not going to sell. Who's Ray Borg? And then he totally beeps and backs the train up today and or last night and says, oh, I didn't mean any disrespect to Ray Borg. Yeah, you fucking did. Sorry. I'm almost listening to the show now.
He never backtracks, Proteus. What do you mean? He never says anything that he's, oh, women will never fight in the UFC. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, anyways, Lord Dana's a unique one. But let's continue to talk about this fight because Demetrius Johnson looked very impressive in this fight. And like you said, Tony, Ray Borg did not give up. He did last five rounds, and he had his moments. They were very, very short and few and far between because And I don't want to echo anybody's, any other media members' words, but there's just only so many things you can say that aren't, that's going to sound similar when you talk about this fight, because there were points in this fight, and I was rewatching, I was looking at some of the stills from this fight, the amount of calm on Demetrius Johnson's face throughout the whole fight, no matter what position he was in, if Ray Borg was in on a single on his leg, and he was pushing down Ray Borg's head, he had just no strain on his face at all, while Ray Borg was just the complete opposite of Demetrius Johnson, working so hard. And we, like you said, Tony, we have said this on the show before. I mean, perhaps the level of competition in this particular division is not where DJ is. And I think you're right with saying that. And I think that as Anderson Silva did in his own division in 185, Demetrius Johnson will raise the talent level in this division leaps and bounds whilst he's in this division. Anyways, getting back to it. The things that Demetrius Johnson was doing in this fight that impressed me, one, that flying knee while Ray Borg had a single on him, what balance and what poise, and of course, I don't think Ray Borg was expecting that to happen. One question I have for you, Tony, how do you get good at throwing a shoulder? So good that you push the other fighter's head back into the cage numerous times, like you're throwing an elbow. Impressive stuff, man. And that finish, you're never going to see another finish like that. Everybody's calling it a suplex, but apparently it is not a suplex. It is a chin drop. So chin drop to arm bar. Can you believe that, Tony? Could you believe that finish? It was like silk.
Well,
and apparently this guy does this all the time in the gym. So that's one of his moves that he goes to.
The only other person that I saw that was relaxed, actually, that level, right? You could say the same thing about Conor McGregor every single time he walks in the cage. Mind you, a lot more bravado, but he's just relaxed. The moment doesn't seem to pass him by. I think DJ, the same thing. I think with DJ, though, is also the fact that he kind of knows that he's not going to headline a pay-per-view. It's not going to happen. So the bulk of the weight is not on him, and I'm not trying to make a flyweight joke, but clearly he's better than anyone else, right, in that division. Another person is Ronda at her peak. Ronda at her peak had that same sort of bravado where a lot more intense than DJ, right? DJ's kind of a lot more relaxed. You know who was like that a little too? Proteus was Robbie Lawler when he was champ. Mm-hmm. It didn't really seem, he was a lot more intense, but certainly the cage, like you said, throwing the shoulders, just being active, being able to look at, the most impressive thing for me with DJ is how he's always checking the clock. He's always looking up at the clock, see how much time he has left. And that just shows the level of intellect that he has, combat intellect that he has, that he knows the moment's not too big for him and he knows what he needs to do to get the job done. But I would like to see him, and he doesn't have to, his legacy's already cemented, but I would like to see him challenge the bantamweight division's a lot stronger. There's no doubt about it. And it's not his weight class. I get it. But I certainly would like to see him in a non-title fight, right, where he doesn't have to put his title up, going up and fighting one of the bantamweights, because I think I could be wrong. Maybe he continues to do the same thing, but I think we'll see a different DJ going up in weight.
I just want to touch on a couple of things that you said there, because as I said, there's a lot of stories coming out of these top two fights, Tony, because there is a lot to talk about. I think I have to agree with you. If he's going to go up to 35, it does not have to be against the champion, and it should not be against the champion. I don't think he really stands a chance against TJ or neck tattoo Cody Garbrandt. I think the fight that he needs to do at 35, sorry, the thing that he needs to do at 35 is to get that win or that loss back from Dominic Cruz. I think that's kind of the perfect fight. And he might not win that fight,
Ooh, I,
to be honest.
Because I would like to see that one.
Yeah, I think that's – I think that, honestly, Tony, you don't put him in against Garbrandt or TJ. They just have too much power on the feet. They are very, very strong. And I just wanted to go back to Demetrius Johnson again for a second here, because he just seems, like you said, Tony, he's just one step ahead. And, of course, you can't say – somebody else already said this. You know, if you're watching the MMA stuff, you've already seen somebody say this. But – it's true. He just was one step ahead of Ray Borg. And like you said, Tony, just watching that clock, kind of feeling where Ray Borg was at throughout that whole fight, I felt like he was just gauging Ray Borg's energy level. And when his energy level got low at the end of the fight, he looked over at Daniel Cormier. Apparently, I was not in the building, so I don't know where he was looking. Picked Ray Borg up, slammed him on his head, and finished his ass with an armbar. And of course, as it has been pointed out already, if that happened further away from the cage, that finish comes a lot sooner.
I was actually shocked that Ray Borg hung on. Honestly,
he didn't want to.
I mean,
oh no, he didn't want to tap, Tony. He didn't.
Yeah, I was surprised, because that looked pretty. That looked pretty stout, and I thought it was I thought he was going to have his elbow dislocated, to be honest with you, or his shoulder pop out, because that was – he was caught, no doubt about it. He was not going to get out of that one. So, listen, good on him to tap, et cetera. And, listen, I think credit needs to be given where credit is due, and that's to DJ, whether or not it's the level of competition, just like when Ronda was reigning in her division, it – and of course, Goz is going to kill us for this, but it is what it is, right? The division is what it is. It's not his fault. It's so,
well,
you just have to.
Go ahead, finish your thought. My apologies.
No, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I totally lost what I was going to say there, since I was apologizing to you.
I'm just going to say, it is what it is, so it's certainly not his fault. And you can't.
Oh, I remember.
Whether he. Go ahead, Proteus.
No. Finish what you're gonna say, and then I'll go. I just wanted you to remember so that I remembered.
So you can't blame Chance for being ahead of their divisions, and I certainly. I mean, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna put him in for DJ fighting Joe Benavidez 12? Yeah, I don't want to see him fight him 3 times. I don't want to see him fight him 5 times. I don't want to see him fighting John Dodson another 3 times. It's not his fault. You just have to put the competition that's in the division.
I disagree with the Benavidez thing. I'd like to see him do that one more time, but not right away. And let's remember, when Anderson Silva went up in weight class, he didn't fight anybody that was a champion, right? He fought Forrest Griffin. He fought, I can't remember the gentleman he knocked out with one punch after holding the, catching his kick and punching him straight in the face. Can't remember his name. Anyways, he fought 3 times up at 205 and didn't fight the champion. So I think that you're right with saying, he doesn't need to do that. Demetrius does not need to go up and contend for that belt. I think it sells no matter what.
I don't know if it sells, though. We have to be honest about, because everyone talks about, well, if you don't like the way DJ fights, you don't like MMA. Well, people like what they like, right? So we know it's not going to sell in any stretch of the imagination. So I think the other person has to be the one that sells it.
I think I might have to disagree with you on this one, Tony, because that finish is going to be on all the highlight reels, on all of the mainstream channels, no doubt about it. I mean, that's probably the best finish we've ever seen in MMA. I was amazed by what happened. You know, the chin drop right into, not even, he knew where Ray Borg was going to fall, and he knew exactly what was going to happen to Ray Borg when he dropped him on his head, and he was in the correct position to finish that submission. You're going to see that ending of that fight a lot. So I think that might do a lot for DJ.
We'll see. I think the division is just what it is. I mean, I just don't think it sells very well, and we'll see. Hopefully it does, strike the chord with a lot of people, and hopefully it does put him where he needs to be, which is in the upper tier. But we will see, right? It's we will see what happens with that. Sorry for clearing my throat there.
That's okay.
Let's move up to the flyweight.
We will let you clear your throat, Tony.
Sorry, it's I don't know what it is.
You didn't get it?
It's driving
me
crazy.
Let me clear my throat.
Yeah. We go to the lightweight for the interim belt, Proteus, and I joke about this. I have an interim belt. You have an interim belt. Marco has an interim belt.
Yeah.
But now, Tony Ferguson has an interim belt. Well earned, to be honest with you. He probably should have been one of the people fighting Connor for a belt, because Goddard does, and we shouldn't say this, but I don't think he wants to defend or doesn't like defending his belts, right? But Tony Ferguson defeats Kevin Lee in the third round via triangle choke. I actually thought he had him a couple times, and this was a good battle. But the controversy is not whether or not Tony Ferguson won. The controversy is the reported staff of infection that Kevin Lee did confirm that he had Proteus. So before we go any further into the fight, I got to ask you about this, because is staff as contagious as we believe it is?
I think staff is an incredibly scary thing. And if you ask Ben Foulkes how he feels about staff infections, I think he'll tell you exactly what I'm about to tell you. Staff infections are no joke, man. Now, Kevin Lee, the story is, it started earlier on in the week when Kevin Lee struggled immensely to make weight. Sure, he made that weight, and sure, he decided not to make his weight with the UFC Performance Institute, as Dana White, Lord Dana, would like to point out on, and many times pointed out, that Kevin Lee decided to go and do his own thing, and that he is a grown man and can make his own decisions. I think that perhaps the staph infection may have been very hard to pick up visually. And I think that it throws into the realm of interest of, are these pre-fight checks good enough? You and I can go into the doctor, say we had the flu last night, and get a doctor's note and get off of, getting in trouble at work the next day if we need to. Because there's no way they can actually prove that you weren't sick last night, yada, yada, yada. I guarantee you Kevin Lee didn't mention anything to any doctor about having a staph infection, which, again, puts into mind where Kevin Lee's head is at. Because if you're going to expose another human being to a deadly flesh-eating virus like staph infection, of course, Tony Ferguson had numerous abrasions on his body, which that staff can now go into. In my mind, Tony, that is a travesty. And it throws into my mind, again, the relevancy of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. These things need to be caught. You can't have a fighter fighting with staph infection. The ref might have staph infection. Anybody that he touched on the way down from the tunnel might have staph infection. It's very, very contagious. And I know it was mentioned on the broadcast. And of course, they can't bury the Nevada State Athletic Commission for letting the fight go on the broadcast on the UFC, the first athletic competition back in Vegas after a serious tragedy. There were a lot of things that were going on in Vegas this week, and this is very concerning to me, Tony, because I hope that Tony Ferguson does not get affected by this, because we expect him to fight for the title against Conor McGregor in the very near future. I don't think that Tony Ferguson, besides having staph infection, and I hope they wiped him down really, really well, he showered well, put on any kind of silver creams that kill staph infection, but he has open wounds. That staph infection can go straight in there. So, Tony, I apologize for going on a rant, but seriously, it concerns me.
Well, here's a problem with that, because you said that we that there's no way of really knowing. But if Joe Rogan, who was, I don't know, 20, that's right, like 50 feet away from Kevin Lee, if he can spot it, you're telling me the referee can't spot it? The whomever,
or the guy
is
who
in charge,
inspected,
you know,
him before
Las
he got
Vegas,
in the game?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No one can spot it, but Joe Rogan can from 50 feet away. And that's certainly a concern. We don't know what occurred in the back. We don't know if they went over to Tony Ferguson and said, hey, listen, this kid has staph infection. Do you want to go on? What's your take on this? We don't know what occurred there. I would assume that someone in his corner, meaning Ferguson's corner, or one of his people were smart enough to say, hey, wait a second, that's staph. They've seen it before, right? It's not the first time they've seen it.
Of course.
We don't know what occurred there, but I just think in general, the commission itself shouldn't have allowed the fight if he had staph infection. I think they should have just, my opinion, if he has staph, they shouldn't have allowed. And we don't know where they were with the staph, if he's already taking antibiotics. And Joe Rogan was quick to point out about the antibiotics. Maybe they already knew that he's on them and he's been on them for a day or two. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where the level of how contagious it is at that point is. But boy, that talk about just, you know, it, first off, it's for an interim title, that the champ, I don't want to say refuses to challenge, or rather to defend it, but certainly he has no real desire to do so.
Right.
But it was just really strange. But let's talk about this though. Tony Ferguson defeats Kevin Lee, and Ferguson, of course, I've said it many times, unfortunately, I think he's sloppy. I think he fights, meaning with his hands down. I don't think he, I think he takes a lot of punishment when he's in there. Interesting to see. I'm curious to see what you saw, because he did dominate Kevin Lee, but he took some shots.
Tony, I think that you're 100% correct. And the only thing that kept popping into my mind when I watched this fight is that Conor McGregor would have knocked Tony Ferguson out with one of those left. I mean, keep your hands down. You're going to get knocked out. And I'm the last person to be a Conor McGregor fan, but you have to appreciate his skills and his talent, right? You have to appreciate that if he was in there with Conor McGregor, any of those shots, and even if he was in the octagon with a Kevin Lee, who was at 100% or 80%, not whatever percentage he was at because of, dude has a staph infection, probably on antibiotics, right? If Kevin Lee would have, he landed a number of left hands in this fight that, had he been at 100%, may have knocked Tony Ferguson out, or at least knocked him to the ground where that fight could have been finished. What I saw, exactly what you said, Tony, I saw Tony Ferguson, hands down, very sloppy, very, very lucky to have been fighting the guy that he was fighting, a diminished fighter. And we know the cut for Kevin Lee is tough no matter what, but with all these other circumstances, you know, Kevin Lee was done by the second round. He was totally 100% done. And not to diminish Tony Ferguson from his back, because that was a thing of beauty to watch. I mean, he manipulated Kevin Lee very well. Now, in the first round, he was mounted, Tony. Let's remember that. Tony Ferguson was mounted, and just because it was near the end of the round, he got out of that mount. He was not getting out of that mount. I didn't see him getting out of that mount at all. I mean, Kevin Lee had that mount locked down. If he was hitting any of those elbows or those punches that he threw whilst in the mount, or more punches, that fight could have been over again. But again, Tony Ferguson was fighting a diminished Kevin Lee. The story is right there, Tony. I know it's just so fresh right now, but I guarantee you this is going to be a story for the rest of the week. I guarantee you, like wildfire, it's going to spread. And you heard it first here on Amp Radio.
Right. And no pun intended, right? It's going to spread. Staph infection, never mind.
Oh,
okay.
But boom. Very smart.
But I'll tell you what I I tell you what I do want to ask you. So yeah. Tony Ferguson wins the interim belt, clearly calls yeah. out in a Nate Diaz type yeah. rant, calls out Conor McGregor. So I'm going to ask you this because I'll give my 2 cents after, but what are the chances? So on a scale of 1 to 100, right? What are the chances that Tony Ferguson does actually fight Conor McGregor to unify the title?
I think that the chances are very good at this particular point in time, especially with what the UFC president came out and said, your buddy Lord Dana, saying that this is the fight that has to happen next. And I think there's something in that because I believe it was Ariel Helwani earlier on in the week had mentioned that, you know, do Tony Ferguson or Khabib next against Conor in December, and then you flip it around and you do Nate Diaz in February, March, on the, like, you know, the Super Bowl card, you know, something big. And I think with Tony Ferguson winning and with what Dana White said and how he said it, I think the UFC is, Tony, I think the UFC is in danger of losing a lot of the hardcore fans if they do Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor next. I think we're at that point where a lot of hardcore fans are going, you know what, man, we realize that we're supporting your company right now and we're not really enjoying what it is that you're doing. We really do want to see meritocracy in this sport every now and then, more often than not. And I think what they're going to have to do, and I think even if Tony Ferguson manages to beat Conor McGregor, that fight is still there, unfortunately. I do think that the Conor McGregor-Nate Diaz fight is still there. I didn't think that. If you would have asked me before Tony Ferguson won, I would have told you, no way. But I think that Tony did enough. I mean, he called out Conor. He did it in a Nate Diaz way. I mean, that's exactly it. Nate Diaz has been telling us that these fools are doing what he's been doing for years. For 4 years, you know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense. And yes, that's the fight we see next, guaranteed, 100%. Tony, I do believe we see Tony Ferguson versus Conor McGregor, and I think Conor McGregor gets very deep into Tony Ferguson's brain.
See, I wish I could believe that. I just don't see it. I think McGregor has one or two fights left in him, and I think he wants them to yep. be huge money fights. One, of course, will be probably with Nate Diaz. The other one, I think he tries to move up and get a third title. I really just don't see him having any interest. And I do believe that the UFC created a monster, meaning I think right. McGregor now wants to do what McGregor wants to do, and they can't control him. And I don't see him fighting Ferguson.
I can agree with you with that, Tony. If Conor McGregor decides to go rogue again and do what Conor McGregor wants to do again, we're going to have to put an asterisk beside every single one of Conor McGregor's championship belts because he's not defended any of them. And that's not going to affect how much money is in his pocket, but it's going to affect his legacy, which I don't think anybody cares about anymore, man. And if you're at the top and you're making money like McGregor is, what do you care about legacy anymore? You got a yacht. You're in Ibiza partying. And Dana White says, we got to let him blow off some steam before we can even talk to him about another fight. Come on, man. Sorry.
I just think that's a problem. I really do. And
it's a huge problem.
I know.
Huge.
Yeah. And we talk about meritocracy, but we also, I mean, we have to also acknowledge that a lot of the UFC fans, many of them, not all, I mean, I would say probably a lot of them are MMA fans, but there are the UFC apologists, right, who only continue, and this I'm segueing here just slightly, but who only see the UFC as the only MMA promotion. And that's not what we're seeing, because we are seeing Gegard Mousasi, Roy Nelson, Mr. Wonderful, of course,
Phil Davis.
Gosh, I'm losing his mind. Phil Davis. Rory McDonald. I always want to call him Rory. Benson Henderson. Valerie Letourneau. A lot of people have made. Brian Bader, right? Matt Mitrione. Yeah, yeah. A lot of these people have left. Hey, Goldie, how about that, Proteus? On Friday, we were listening to Goldie at Bellator, and he sounded great. I know you weren't a big fan, but it does actually bring – and we saw Darian Caldwell, of course, defeating Dudu. Eduardo Dantas, we saw Emmanuel Sanchez defeating Daniel Strauss via submission triangle. The only reason why I bring this up is I think the UFC fans, and I'm saying UFC fans, not MMA fans, right? The UFC fans need to acknowledge that there are other promotions, and I think there will be even more fighters heading over to Bellator and maybe Horizon and maybe some of the others, right? But I do think we need to, as MMA fans, we need to be MMA fans and not just UFC fans and UFC apologists, because we are seeing a change in the product.
Well, Tony, I think that what you're saying is partly true. I think that there is a base of amount of fans, the hardcore fans, that are going to support MMA no matter what. And I think that we're seeing those particular fans support Bellator as well. Look at the numbers of the Bellator pay-per-view that just happened. Not very good, but guess what? Those were all MMA hardcores that bought that particular fight, okay? Because like you and me, they want to see Bellator do well. They want to see the competition do well. And if you would have asked me, you know, at the beginning of the year, Tony, the same question, I would have agreed with you. But now I don't. I don't really agree that Bellator is catching up. They're getting marquee fighters and making everything look nicer, and we are watching. The hardcore fans who are listening to almost 52 minutes of you and I speak are watching the Bellator. I don't know how many casual fans are, and I said this on the State of the Union with Danny Austin on Friday. I guess it all got put out, but on Thursday we recorded it, and I said, even the UFC is having trouble getting the casual fan. It's just there's so much stuff out there to watch, and if you're gonna require your fans to pay $60 11 times a year, that's not gonna happen. You're not gonna get more than 100,000, 150,000 to 300,000 people tuning in, which of course, Tony, as we know, is enough for the UFC to make a profit, but it's not gonna show out on paper like Dana White wants it to do, right? We know he likes breaking records. He said that on the post-fight interview, the post-fight press conferences. He loves breaking numbers. He loves burying other promotions. It's really interesting times, Tony. The UFC needs to make the right decisions here. They need to do what is right and really know where their fans are at in order to continue to be successful. And of course, as I said, I want Bellator to be successful, but I just don't know if the casuals are into it.
So let me ask you this as we leave the show, right? And I'll cue the music now as we're leaving the show. What do you think the numbers would be? Bellator NYC, Bellator 180, right? I think they completely bombed by putting it on pay-per-view. I think that was a huge mistake on their end. I think they should have done it as a freebie, and I think the numbers would have been outstanding. I mean, just outrageous. What do you think how well do you think Bellator NYC, Bellator 180 would have done if it wasn't on pay-per-view, if it was a freebie?
No, I agree with you, and I said it at the time. I don't know why they're trying to do this pay-per-view product again. I don't know why the executives of Spike or Viacom are trying to push it. I mean, give it for free. Maybe you get a lot more fans that way, and then the next time you get a spectacular card like that card, you put it on pay-per-view and maybe it does better, but making a free product something that is you now have to pay for, that's not going to happen. I agree with you, Tony. It would have done way better numbers if it were on free TV.
All right, so moving up, of course, this week in MMA, this is for Bellator 184 and UFC 216. We saw a champion crowned, and we also got to see Pearl Gonzalez. Cue the music there. Daily, we will try to do, of course, the MMA Minute. Wednesday, I will be traveling, so we have to find out when we're going to do
no problem.
Smack My Picks up for next week, right? And then, of course, we have maybe Proteus's Prime Time this week in MMA. We'll continue to give you guys content. We follow the show at Another MMA Cast We follow, of course, Proteus at Proadios. We follow me, the DJ and the PJs at I'm DJ Tony. We follow Pam, of course, at Pandora Box Double X, and of course, Miles and Marco, Marco from Waco. Proteus, let's close it. What you got?
Well, guys, I just want to say that we appreciate all of you for listening, as always. Rate, subscribe if you can. If you can't, be bothered. Whatever, that's all good. Just keep listening. We appreciate it. We do two to three shows a week to give the DJ and the PJs a break. We've only been doing two. So hope you enjoy the content. Keep listening. Keep loving MMA. We're here for you.
And like that, Proteus?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Fuck your bitch ass belt too.
Chuck away.
Frankie say no more.